This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Book the Pod!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcast, and Spotify. Well, apparently, all you have to do to motivate this team is to do one little podcast episode asking if they suck. And then they come back and they win three games in a row. That's what we got to do. So I'm just going to question if the Caps suck every single week, because apparently they're listening and they were offended, because they just came out and they just showed everybody that listened to this podcast that these two idiots that do the show don't know what they're talking about. So joining me as always, Coach Dan, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I don't know about me being an idiot. Actually, that's fair. That's okay. No, I mean, I guess that's fair. Some of the things I say aren't smart, so that's a fair point. I guess you have me there. No, but they definitely shut us up, I guess would be a way to put it, after last week. I mean, they've certainly played better over the last week. I mean, going 3-0 with a win over Pittsburgh, a pretty dominating is a little dramatic, but a very emphatic win over Pittsburgh. I think two of them were empty netters, if I remember correctly. So the 5-2 score is not quite as dominating as it looks. And then you have another 5-2 win over the Devils and a 3-2 win over the Devils. I'll take it, because obviously they're all divisional games this year, and that put the Caps on top of the division. Now, they are 2 points up on Boston, but Boston has played two less games. But they're 2 points up on the Islanders, and they play the same amount of games. So at worst, although I have to go back and look at the schedule again, but at worst, I would imagine that they, you know, they're doing well right now over the last couple of games. So, and I, you know, I'm not going to complain. They're play three more games in the Flyers, who are 3 points back. So there's still opportunities for them to drop. So really, they just need to keep going on a run, doing what they're doing. They've got a +4 goal differential, so they're moving in the right direction there. And just gotta keep winning.
I want to give full credit to us. I really do think
Welcome, everybody.
So the first game against the Devils on Saturday, it was a afternoon game, which we know that the Caps aren't big fans of. But that one seemed like, if there's anything to complain about three wins, it was probably this game, that they came out firing. Like those first 10 minutes of period one, I'm going to say episode one. Of period one, like they came out and you're like, yeah, this team's fired up. They got something to prove. They want to do something. And then like the last part of the period one, period two, and then part of period three, they looked sluggish again, and they didn't look like they were prepared, and didn't look like they were ready to win this game. But then the last 10 minutes of period three, they came back and were able to win it. So a solid 20 minutes. I mean, it's not 60, but Are we heading in the right direction, that we're getting some good play from this team and coming out with a win, or what's your take on that?
I mean, it's tough to say if they're heading in the right direction, but let's put it this way. They're not heading in the wrong direction.
Okay.
So it's positive. It's just not necessarily as positive as it probably should be. I mean, they still have their moments in games where you look at them going, what are you doing? Right. Why are you playing? We still have, I mean, we're not seeing a full 60 minutes. You know, they've had their moments, and not every game is going to be a full 60 minutes. That's fair to say, but you want to see areas where they start to improve. I think defensively, they're playing a bit better. I think goaltending, you know, now with Samsonov is back, given he looked very rusty, and the two goals he gave up against the Devils, he probably shouldn't have. I would imagine he definitely wants those back, but he's got to get back into the NHL swing of things. Games faster at this level. You can play as many games as you want in the AHL. The game's just not as fast there as it is in the NHL, and you're playing in a very tough division. So he's going to need a little bit of time to get back up in the swing of things, but they have Vanecek. He's playing well, even though I have to imagine he's a little bit tired, but he's playing well. And so I think as long as they can continue on this streak, I mean, you've got some interesting situations going on with the lineup. Kuznetsov's been out for two games, and I don't like that Oshie's playing in the middle. I think he does okay. He does fine there, but I don't like that they don't have the defensive not defensive depth. What is wrong with me? They don't have the center. It's because I'm an idiot. See? Nice little circle back to the beginning of the show. It's they don't have the depth at the center spot with offensive-minded centers that they have to shift one of their talented wingers into the middle. To me, that's a little bit of a problem with the roster. Now, I don't fully expect every team to be able to have all that kind of depth. Like, that's just not reality. But if you have to move one of your wingers over, I don't know. That bothers me. Maybe I'm being overdramatic. Maybe it's not as big of a deal. But I'd like to see if they can bring in someone else if, you know, you're going to have a guy like Kuznetsov out for a while. Or a better option for someone to move into that center spot. So that Oshie can stay on the wing where he theoretically is better.
I mean, it's good.
Even
to
his
have
stats have gotten a little bit better. I mean, he's got a couple of goals lately, right?
Yeah, I mean, if anything, you know, you like a guy that can be versatile and he can play on the wing, he can play on the center when you need to in a pinch, but you don't want him there all the time. You want him to be able to be in a position where he can really flourish and do what he's supposed to be doing. Kuznetsov being out, though, we don't know what it is. They're saying upper body injury. He's missed two games. He did practice today. They're up in Boston right now practicing for the game tomorrow. So it looks like Kuzi might play. I don't know, but very odd that he's out and they're not really telling us much about that injury of what it might be.
Yeah, it looks like he's back at practice today, today being Tuesday. He's on the top line with Ovechkin and Connor Sheary, which, credit to him, Sheary's played well on the top line. You know, I don't know if he's necessarily the answer there, but he's done well. So credit to him. And he's on the second power play unit. I think maybe, you know, if Kuznetsov had a little bit of injury, maybe COVID really affected him more so than we imagine, and that's why he's had a bit of a slow start. He may not have the same energy or the same jump that he normally would have. But there is still a bit of streakiness to his game and a little bit of Alex Semin to his game that is a little bit uncomfortable seeing, and I'd like to see him step it up if he can and play a bit better going forward. But I think having him back is great. The lines from Tuesday was Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, and Sheary. I think that's fine as your first line while Sheary's still playing. I think they were talking about this during the broadcast, but Sheary had the opportunity to pass it to Ovechkin and took the shot instead. He scored, I believe, on the play, but it was like, all right, you got to have some stones to be like, I'm not passing to one of the greatest goal scorers in NHL history so I can get a shot on net. It worked. So like, if you missed, you'd be like, what are you doing, you crazy person? But then you got Vrana, Backstrom, Wilson. That seems like a pretty solid second line to me. Ponik, Eller. Now, I heard it's Panic. Someone said that on the radio. I don't know which one to follow.
I'm pretty sure it's Ponik.
That's what I thought. But then I remember I was actually meant to bring this up last week with you, and I totally forgot. Ponik, Eller, Oshie. Not bad. I'll take it. Hagelin, Dowd, Hathaway. I don't like the amount of money they're spending on Hagelin, having him on the fourth line. That's a problem for a team that doesn't have a lot of cap space. But that's a problem, not necessarily for now, but if they want to be able to make some moves at the deadline, which we may or may not see teams making a lot of moves, you know, that's something they're going to have to look at. And then defensively, it doesn't look like they've had really a lot of changes lately because I thought they've been playing a little bit better. Even Nick Jensen has been playing a bit better than he
Nick
than
Jensen, had. who had a terrible season last year. Absolutely horrendous.
I was ready to move him out. I would have driven him out of town. Not really.
I got to give him credit, though. He really picked himself up worked on his game in this offseason, and you know, it probably doesn't hurt that you've got one of the best defensemen and one of the oldest veterans in the league on being paired with you right now. So having Zdeno Chara playing with Jensen, it's probably a huge gift to his game as well.
Doesn't hurt.
No, not at all. So good for him, because he's really picked up his game. Very impressed what he's been able to do so far this year. You brought up the Jacob Vrana line. I do want to bring up that Vrana goal from the Sunday game against the Devils. He took a shot on net, got a rebound, and got his own rebound and was able to come away with a goal. That might be like one of my picks for goal of the year right now in the shortened season that we've had already.
Not the Oshie one?
Oshie one. Oh, I figured you used that one. But, I mean.
That's so nice of you.
Yeah, we've got some contenders right now. That Oshie goal was a gorgeous one, and that Vrana rebound and then a goal, also fantastic. That's the kind of stuff I want to see from Veronica. He used his speed to get down there. He fought for the puck, did his job. That's the type of player I want to see Vrana be in the future.
Oh, yeah. So, no, Vrana is, he's very Tomas Fleischmann. He has this very streaky moments where he should be playing better, and he's just, I don't know if he's snake bit. I don't think it's a lack of caring. I just think that he's kind of a streaky guy, but his speed definitely causes issues for opposing teams, because you have to account for the fact that if you're not prepared or you don't give yourself enough space to be able to make up for the fact that he's really fast, it's going to burn you. And so all you really got to do is put the puck somewhere that he's going to get it down the ice. And it worked. That's how he gets a number of breakaways, is that they'll make the pass up and he's just like, see ya. And he just dust past everybody. It's been fantastic. But the Oshie goal, that's a winner for me in goal of the year. I mean, they're even making comparisons to the goal from Ovechkin.
Yeah, the goal.
Not as good as that one. Let's not be overdramatic, everybody. But it was a very nice goal. I mean, one hand,
that was a
gone,
pretty sweet goal.
Going down. I mean, it's yeah, but it's not as nice as the goal. But it was definitely, it's I was going to say the goal was 2.0, but 2.0 makes it sound like it's better. It was like, it's like the goal's cousin. Well, or like, younger sibling. I don't know where I'm going with this.
It was such a big deal. The goal was such a big deal because Ovechkin was a rookie. No one really saw a player like him before. So that one is like this. No. This kid came out of nowhere almost and was doing these crazy things. Now, of course, it was one of the number one draft picks, so a lot of people were watching him anyway. But to see him come out and play the way that he did, it revived hockey in D.C. and I think around the world. I think that one is why that one is so polarizing and such a popular goal for everyone to always talk about. But the Oshie goal, I mean, not a bad sidekick. Not a bad Robin to Ovi's Batman.
It's not too shabby. I'll take it. Yeah, I mean, it was an impressive goal by Oshie. And, you know, that's what you need. I mean, you need your top guys to step up when they haven't been playing well. And they're not getting a ton of secondary scoring, but I think they've been getting more than they had in the past. And so,
who's really scoring some goals is Nick Backstrom. Nick Backstrom's getting goals, points like crazy this season.
Yeah,
he's
who
the
made
team,
him
right?
mad? Because thank you. Because it worked.
He doesn't have to be feeding Ovechkin the entire time now, so he can actually work on his own game.
I mean, Backstrom's leading the team in points right now. He's got 25 in 21 games. He's more than a point-per-game player. He's ahead of Carlson. Carlson's second with 19. Wilson and Ovechkin are tied with 17, though Ovechkin's played two less games. Vrana's at 14 and 20. Oshie's at 14 and 20. So it seems like the top guy is starting to step it up a bit. I'd like to see a little bit more. Sheary's got 7 and 18, but now he's playing top line minutes, so I would expect to get a bit more from him, at least with assists. And then you've got Hathaway's got 6 and 21. I mean, the fact that Kuznetsov, given he's only played 11 games, but he's got 6 and 11, I'd like to see that number higher. I mean, I want to see more production from him. It doesn't have to be goals, but assists. Start setting guys up. And then I want to start seeing a little bit more from who else do we need to? Yeah, Ponic is another one. A lot of money in him, or a big cap hit in him. That I don't know if it's worth it.
Is it too early to say that that's a bust?
No, I don't know if I'll call him a bust, because I think he does. Yeah, like he's played. He's physical presence. He plays well. I just think it's more money than they should have spent on him. But they had to bring in somebody. They lost Brett Connolly to Florida. They needed somebody. They didn't have anybody ready in the minors to take on that spot. I mean, this was all before COVID too. So, you know, you thought the cap ceiling was going to keep going up and up. So, you know,
we got to say, we feel sorry for Brett Connolly who got waived by the Panthers earlier this week.
And I know there are probably some Caps fans out there being like, bring him back. Not for $3.5 million. I think that's his cap.
Yeah,
it's
a big, well, I think
that's an extra $750,000 on Ponic, which the team can't afford. So if they somehow were able to bring him in at half of that, he's still only like 28. I'll do that.
So I think
I'll take Connolly back.
Panthers now have Brett Connolly on their taxi squad, if I'm reading that correctly.
Yeah, I didn't think anybody was going to take that cap it.
Yeah.
That's too bad. He was, you know, good player for the team.
Did what he had to do when he was here, which was, you know, win.
I mean, he was another guy that was highly thought of when he was coming into the league, and it didn't really work out quite as well. Bounced around, you know, took a small contract, if I remember correctly, with the Caps, and it worked out. But then he just played so well they couldn't afford him anymore.
We've seen a lot of players come and go because of that. I mean, look at a guy like Matt Hendricks. You know, loved having him on the team, but he just played so well in the Capital system that he kind of made himself too expensive. Same
I mean,
thing
yeah, they were
Holpe.
Ready to move on.
Yeah. So what else should we talk about in Caps world?
Oh, I don't know. Let's call it. No, I'm just kidding. Ovechkin passed Mike Gartner for the all-time goal, so that was pretty cool. Good for him. And, did you see the warm-up jerseys? The black warm-up jerseys with the anti-racism patch? I actually really like those. Here's something I want to talk about. So in European football, they have, like, ads on... I mean, obviously, they have an ad on... Usually, you have a big ad on the front of the jersey. We don't really want that in the NHL. I don't want any ads on the jerseys. You know, helmet is fine. Not a big deal. But they have also... They'll put ads on or things on the sleeves. So on one sleeve, team, at least in England, you can have an ad on one side, the other side is kind of blank. But then they have like these patches that they'll have on there, say no to racism, soccer's for every or football's for everybody, like that kind of thing. I feel like the NHL should be doing more of that. Like there should be more things with the NHL doing that is promoting anti-racism because that's important to be doing. And I don't know if that means you have to have it on all the time, you know, when they're playing. But you have these opportunities. I don't know if you caught it in the last game. They have these things where they're projecting images onto the ice that are not really there. Like, you don't see them if you're in the stadium. So why not have things like that on the ice? I know it takes up ad space, potentially, where you're not making as much revenue, but you can find a spot where you can put an anti, you know, say no to racism on the ice. I don't know. I like that. So I like the fact that they were doing that on the jerseys. Actually, they look pretty cool, too.
Oh, yeah, they were slick.
It shouldn't be
jerseys.
One game. Like, why not have warm-up jerseys? First of all, you can always auction them off for causes, so you have a great thing there. Why not always have...
That's what they did, right, for
yeah,
these jerseys?
So, yeah, they're expensive.
Well, of course.
Some of these, I think Backstrom's is at, like, $2,000 now. But, like, why not do that more normally? It's great when you're in the state, when fans are in the stands, because you can actually see them. Because, like, you see a little bit of the warm-ups when... You're watching the game on TV, but they're like, it's when Beninati's doing his soliloquy. Like, it's not, you don't really see it. So to have something like that for fans in the stands when we can do that again in 25 years or whatever the case may be, that I think doing more of those kind of things than auctioning them off. They do it a couple of times a season. I'd like to see it more.
Yeah, I know, like, the NFL, when, like, Robert Kraft's wife passed away or Art Modell passed away, the Patriots, the Ravens, they got to put... patches like right on the shoulder or above, you know, above over the heart. They did an American ribbon, an American flag ribbon when they started the season on 9/11. I remember the Caps, the Penguins came together when that locomotive team, that plane crash happened in the KHL, and they had the locomotive logo on sweaters, and they auctioned off those sweaters. But they actually, I think they played the game with those patches on, so it wasn't just, like you said, the warm-ups. So I can see that happening more often. I mean, that's fine.
So I'm wearing, this is audio medium, but if you Brandon decides to post this somewhere, you see a picture, right? Like, I'm wearing the old black Caps jersey with the Capital Dome logo. You got the eagle on the sleeve. Okay, so some teams don't have a logo on the shoulders. Why not have one logo being the team's logo, and then the other one can be like a positive message? You can have, you know, say no to racism on there. Like you see in the European football. Like, for me, that makes sense. And then you constantly have that on there, and it makes the NHL look good. It's a positive message, obviously. So, I don't know. Just ideas. You know, I thought it would be cool.
Yeah, I mean, and you can always switch it up to different causes. I mean, I think that's the other thing, too, that they're worried about, is that they're like, well, if we do it for one cause, we'll have to do it for all the other ones. Well, that's fine. Do that. All
right, so that's what you have the warm-up jerseys for. So, you know, maybe once a week you have a special warm-up jersey, and then you auction them off later to raise money for a cause. And then every, you know, you can do it a couple times, you know, however much you want to do it, every other week, something like that.
They have a lot of ad space right now with all those covers over the seats as well. So, I mean, you've got some blank spaces there. Yeah.
There you go. Put them on there.
Oh, you know what would be actually kind of interesting? Kind of like in baseball, if they were to put, like, the logo of a foundation or something, and let's say a puck landed on that logo when it went out of play. If it landed there, they would put, like, an extra $1,000 towards that charity or something.
Oh, I like that.
That'd be kind of interesting.
Clever. Yeah, they should do that. I like that idea.
Of course, you don't want pucks to leave the ice, so that might be sending the wrong message.
No, because that, like, it happens. That's just the reality. Like, yeah. That just happens. I mean, well, it couldn't be behind the netting, so you'd have to have it along the not the end boards. What am I trying to say? Center ice. So, no, I like that idea. I actually think that would be kind of cool. You can even do it with fans in the stands, because you got, like, certain sections could be for this particular cause. And then if a puck lands over there, it's like, hey, all right.
Have you seen, by the way, except for on social media, have they ever featured any of the cardboard cutouts during a game? I have not noticed any cardboard cutouts, any shots of cardboard cutouts during the game, because I almost bought one. I bought one for my dog for Ravens games, and you saw him on the TV all the time. But for Caps games, I haven't noticed any sections with cardboard cutouts.
I don't think so. Like, you said that, and I was like, you know, I don't think I have.
Yeah.
Like, now that I think about it.
Huh. I've seen them on social media. I know, like, the DC Zoo pandas are in the stands. But that's all I've seen.
The National Zoo. Thank you. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm sorry. Sorry.
How dare you, Brandon? Yeah, I don't know.
Well, you know what we got to talk about being in the stands? Philadelphia has decided that they are going to open up and they're going to actually have fans in the stands starting on Sunday. And that game is against the Capitals. So the Capitals will be playing in front of fans for the first time this season on Sunday. What do you think that means for the game, for the Capitals, for the Flyers, having fans back? Like, what's your thoughts on this? Because watching the Bills versus the Ravens, I brought this up last week, watching the Bills versus the Ravens were very unprepared for playing in front of fans. So how are the fans going to affect this game? What do you think the Caps are going to do? I mean, think about this. We're now, it's March 2nd. We are almost up to the 1 year anniversary of the pause of the season. And the Capitals have not played in front of fans in almost a full year. Think about that. That's insane. So, what do you think it's going to be like
nuts.
for the Caps to play in front of fans for the first time in a year? What do you think it's going to be like?
I mean, I just think it's very typical of the fact that they have to go to frickin' Philadelphia and deal with their rowdy fans like that. Of course, that would.
I think it's very selective as well. Like, you can't be a Caps fan and then take your way up to Philadelphia. Like, this is only open to season ticket holders. There's pods, there's all different kinds of safety precautions they're going to be taking, so this isn't just going to be like, sure, all right, everybody come on in. This isn't Texas, so
it's going to be down.
It's definitely going to be a one-sided fan base in those stands, because I mean, if you are a Caps fan, you might be thinking of taking that drive
COVID
to Philadelphia.
Don't do it. COVID or not, don't be going.
They booed Santa. Remember that. So, but like, if you, it's not a far drive. Philadelphia is not far away. So, I mean, I'm sure there are some Caps fans that are like, oh, cool, I want to go up there. But it is going to be very Flyers favored, I guess.
Just a smidge.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. I'm not going. No, I mean, it's definitely going to be, and it's going to be weird. When you said the pause earlier, it made me think of Endgame and Avengers. I was like, it's like the blip. I don't know. Like, it's definitely going to be weird for the players. I think it'll definitely be weird at first, because it's got to be where you have like, who is yelling at me right now, and why are they throwing things at me? Just here to play a game. Like, it's going to be weird. Right? It's not going to be as loud as it normally would be, obviously. And I wonder where they're going to be sitting.
Well, I can tell you, if you watch AEW on TNT on Wednesday nights, it's another wrestling organization, but they're in Daly's Place in Jacksonville, which is an amphitheater. So they have the stage where normally a band would be. The ring is kind of where like the mosh pit would be. And then the entire like orchestra section, which is, I guess, 20 rows, are all empty. And then up in the second and third tier of the building, that's where they have fans in pods. So they are definitely not going to be like smacking the glass like we've seen in the past. They're going to be up in the second.
No, don't touch the glass. You give it COVID.
You're definitely going to be seeing fans in the like second or third tiers of the arena, far away from the game.
Oh, I can imagine.
But you're going to hear them.
Yeah. I mean, it's Philly. It's definitely going to be weird. I mean, they've played so long now without fans in the arenas. And so to go into a game against the Flyers, no less, who are playing well this season, and to have fans yelling at you, you know, it's going to be weird. It's going to be louder than they've expected in a while. So I feel like on the ice, it's going to be a little bit more difficult. I think for both teams, probably. Even the home teams will have a hard time because they're not used to it at this point. And I think it'll take a little bit. Probably maybe the first 10 minutes is going to be weird for both teams to an extent to have people yelling at them again. That's not their coaches. Not Laviolette dropping F-bombs at practice. But, you know, it's going to be a weird one.
And just looking ahead for the next 2 weeks, they go to Philadelphia 3 times in the span of 14 days. So they are playing in Philadelphia in front of, like, way to, like, be baptized by fire. Like, yeah, we're going to have fans back, and 3 of your next 4 games are going to be in front of fans. I mean, I guess it's a good thing to get used to again. Just start off as much as you can. Go dive into the deep end with fans. But, I mean, that's going to be interesting. Man, three games against the Flyers in a week. Wow, I just realized that. That's going to be rough.
Now, are there supposed to be fans in every one of those games?
Yeah, I think fans are allowed at every game starting on Sunday. Now, it's very limited, of course, but it's going to be each time there's something going on. I believe the Flyers and the Sixers, both of them are allowed to have fans in the stands.
I mean, that... I mean, it's definitely... It's going to be weird, I think. And I think it's going to be... It's definitely going to cause some issues in terms of communication between the players, at least at first, when they realize that, you know, they can't have quite the same amount of ability to have their voice projected. But I also think it's going to be funny to an extent because you're going to get not funny. It's going to be disappointing for us because we're not going to hear as much from the players. Because, like, during games now, you can hear a little bit of what they're saying to each other and some not so nice things to each other or to the refs. And so I will miss some of that. If I'm being honest, I will miss it.
All right. Anything else we should talk about in Caps world?
Oh, yeah, a couple things. Let's start. Let's see. Caps prospects Alex Alexiev and Alexei Protas. They both made the playoffs in the KHL, helping their teams forward. So I thought that was pretty cool. Get to play a little bit more. It sounds like they've been doing pretty well. I'm excited to see those guys come back over at some point and play in the AHL or NHL. And finally, Captain, the Capitals dog, is off to New York to complete his formal training to become a service dog. So best of luck to him. But that was pretty cool. And hopefully they get a new one.
Hopefully they do that again. Well, he had a little sister, right? They had 2 dogs, right? It was Captain. I don't remember the other one's name.
Are you thinking of Hattrick, that stupid little mascot?
So why do you always bring up Hattrick?
I think because he sucks. Hattrick. Stupid. Slapshot's cool. Hattrick sucks. That's my rant. But yeah, that's pretty much it for the Caps world. Let's see how they do over these next few games and see if hopefully this wasn't just a, how do I put this? Fluke.
Yeah. The Flyers will definitely be a good test for that.
I think so.
Yeah. All right, well, that's it for what's going on in Caps world. Now let's go down on the farm. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Let's start in Hershey, where the Bears went 2-1 in the past week with wins over Binghamton. They're currently first in the North with 12. It sounds like Game of Thrones in the North. They have 12 points, one up on, I don't ever know how to pronounce this. Is it Utica?
Utica.
Right? Yeah, Utica. It sounds weird. Anyways, they're 1 point up on Utica, but the Bears have played one more game than them. So here's the weird thing. In the AHL standings, it has Utica in first, but they've have one less point because I think their win percentage is slightly better. But the NHL doesn't do it that way. So I don't know. Anyways, they're back at it on Wednesday in Lehigh Valley before heading back to the Giant Center on Sunday for an afternoon game against that same Lehigh Valley. Then they have a game on Sunday at home later in the afternoon against Binghamton. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays finally ended their losing streak, going 1-0-2 in the past week. They are currently fifth in the Eastern Conference with 28 points, 16 back of first place Florida. They have some work to do. They'll be back at it with three games before we talk again, all against Jacksonville, starting on Wednesday at the North Charleston Coliseum, then Friday and Saturday. That's what's going on down on the farm.
If you're ever wondering about Utica, all you got to do is just remember that, you know, Michael and Dwight tried to steal.
I knew you could do an Office reference. I knew it.
The copier from the Utica branch, and they threatened to burn Utica to the ground. Come on.
I'm just going to shake my head at you.
You need to watch more Peacock. That's what you got to do.
Dude, that app is terrible.
It really is.
It's so bad.
You know how difficult it is to be like, here. What was that show? All right, The Office I was watching. I don't want to watch the next episode. I want to find this specific one. How do I find that? Oh, I need to find The Office again. It's terrible.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
I got to say, yesterday the Hershey Cubs put out that they will actually be hosting their first ever tryouts in May, and that players born between January 1, 2001 and December 31st, 2005 will be eligible. So sorry, Coach Dan. You can't play for the Cubs.
Aw.
But one day, maybe the little kid that wants to be a podcaster when he grows up can be a Hershey Cub.
I mean, maybe.
Yeah. We'll see.
We'll see.
All right. Well, that's it for Down on the Farm. Go Bears. Go Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL. Everybody, here we go. We're going around the NHL. Coach Dan's going to get us ready for this week. Coach Dan, what's going on around the NHL?
There's not much. Everybody's just playing hockey. There's not a lot going on. Alex Chiasson, your boy up in Edmonton, he's going to have a hearing with the NHL Department of Player Safety on Tuesday.
What did he
for
do?
For his behavior. He was a bad boy. He cross-checked Maple Leafs forward Jan Vesey. So he's in trouble. Jimmy Vesey, not Jan Vesey. I don't even know who I was talking about. Anyways, what else did we have to talk about? Oh, did you see that thing from Elliot Friedman about Philip Forsberg? He might be up for grabs.
Really?
How full circle would it be if the Caps went and brought him back?
Just bring him back for a game. Just one
and
game.
And how can we sign Martin Erett and send him back? How? Because Nashville is struggling. Let's see. His cap hit is $6 million. Buy Evgeny.
There you go.
Nah, I don't know if they would do that. But if they did, I'd be awfully tempted if I was Brian McClellan. Because that, I feel like that would work and likely improve the team. I don't know if they're going to move him. He's only got 2 years left on his deal, so he's going to get, including this season, so he's going to be expensive. He's only 26, and that wouldn't help us in the center department, as he is a winger, or at least so says on Cap Friendly. But that's a problem. But the big news in the NHL is that a number of teams are going to be allowing fans back in their arenas. Now, teams are somewhere between like 7.5, which I thought was funny, and 25% full. So St. Louis is going to allow 1,400 fans back of their 19,150 seat stadium. So that's 7.5%, which I thought was weird. Tampa Bay is doing 23%.
Florida.
It's just a weird number. But then, and some of them are waiting to do it a little later. Like Boston's going to allow 12% back. That's 2,300 fans on the 22nd of March. Columbus will allow on the 2nd of March. They're allowing 10%. And then you have like Dallas, Texas. They're allowing 5,000 fans back. So, you have the Coyotes, the Bruins, Sabres, Hurricanes, Blue Jackets, Stars, Panthers, Predators, Devils, Islanders, Rangers, Flyers, Penguins, Blues, Lightning, and the Golden Knights. They are the teams that will be allowing fans back into their stands in some capacity. The Caps will not be, as will none of the teams in the North Division, the Canadiens, essentially. And then the Ducks, Flames, Blackhawks, Avalanche, Red Wings, Oilers, Kings, Wild, Canadiens, I already said them, Senators, Sharks, Maple Leafs, Canucks, Caps, and Jets. They will not be allowing their fans back as of this time. But yeah, that's pretty much the news from the past week in the NHL.
Do you think the Capitals will be coming back at all with fans this season? I don't know. This is a pretty busy area, you know, the DC area. I don't know if they're going to allow
It happening.
Yeah.
But I also wouldn't necessarily be surprised, especially because I mean did the
Washington football team, did they have fans ever for any of their games?
I want to say yes, or they were going to, and then cases went up.
Spiked up, yeah.
I mean, they've gone down dramatically. Now, a lot of that is because of there's less big events. There's a lot of less, not a lot of holidays, which is why you're seeing cases go down. People are getting vaccinated. That's another reason. So, you know, there's a couple different factors here. I cannot remember, honestly, off the top of my head, if Washington... football team, if they were going to allow fans into the stands. I honestly cannot.
I know the Ravens had one game, and then things started to go a little crazy. And
they're like, never mind.
Yeah. Well, I hope you guys had fun for that one game.
Yeah. Hard. We're gonna put a little bit of stop on this one. So I don't know. I think that'll be interesting. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised necessarily if they keep going down. But I also kind of think they're just going to be like, you know what? We'll just wait. Yeah. We'll wait for next season.
So the other little piece of news for the NHL is, we got to say, is that Sidney Crosby is on the COVID unavailability list. So unfortunate for him, but due to the COVID protocols, he did not play against the Flyers. But hopefully he's okay. Hopefully he's back on the ice, and hopefully it's nothing too serious. So that's a pretty big name to be on the list, though.
Yeah, I mean, COVID doesn't care who you are. Now, we also don't know what the extent of him being on that list is. You know,
we don't know if he's a close contact. We don't know if it's, you know, just a safety precaution, but he is on that list.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how long he's on there. He's back, ladies and gentlemen. He makes another appearance.
So, is that it for the show?
Yeah, I think that's it. Let's wrap it up, man.
All right, well, little man's calling for you, so we got to wrap the show up. It's his call.
Pretty much.
You want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, and you aren't a little person who can just scream through a door. You can contact us on Twitter. That's the easiest way to do it. Contact me at BrandoCash. You can tweet to me there. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals-related things, including... if they're sucking, and maybe my comments will help them play better. You can also find me on there talking about Arsenal Football Club, the Bills, the Washington football team, and other things that might come into my head in regards to professional sports. That's finding me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. But if you've enjoyed the show, go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where you find out when new shows are coming out, as well as all sorts of other interesting things related to the Washington Capitals, their minor league affiliates, including the new Cubs. Do we have t-shirts available for them yet? Not we, no. Like we have them, but like, do they have them for me to buy?
No, nothing.
Okay, Bruce?
They don't even have a team yet.
I don't care. You don't need it. Look, it says apparel. Hold on. Hold on, everybody.
Where do you see that?
I'm on their website. It's a little slow to load. Team apparel coming soon. Oh, you faked me out. Bruce, I'm very mad at you right now.
All
right.
Well,
I want the circle logo with the HC.
Of
That's
course
the one
you
I want.
Do. Of
I
course
like...
you do.
What are we talking about? Of course I do. I like that
it's
logo.
It's a good logo, but it's also like the most
I like
of the
classic
of them all.
It's classy.
I like it, but
I'm giving it 2 to 3 seasons before they get rid of the halo.
Oh, they also have just a Cubs and a paw print logo. I haven't seen
that one
too. Before.
That's a good one. I like that, too. Yeah. Someone needs to go in and fix that. Doesn't matter. Anyways, that's finding us on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But, Brandon, you keep talking about the Ravens. If someone listening to this happens to also be a fan of that team, is there a podcast they may want to check out?
Yeah, you can check out my Ravens podcast called The Call. Wherever you listen to this show, hopefully with free agency coming up, we'll be able to talk about some people that the Ravens have been signed or maybe potentially could sign. We know J.J. Watt picked another bird, and he's going to Arizona because he's stupid and made the wrong decision. But that's neither here nor there.
I mean, he should have gone to Buffalo.
No, should have came to Baltimore.
To Baltimore.
Come on, JJ. I would have bought a JJ Watt Ravens jersey at full price. I would have.
No, anyways, I did think it was funny that people were like tweeting at him, and he literally wrote, "I take like an hour on DoorDash to think about what I'm gonna eat. Maybe give me a little bit more time to see where I'm playing next." So everybody just relax.
Yeah, and he's going to Arizona, so good for him making that bank. So we'll see. Yeah. Now, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcast, and Spotify. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan, I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. Let's talk about the games until we talk again. We got four games until we talk again. On Wednesday, March 3rd, the Capitals are up against Boston. That game is at 7 o'clock, and I guess it's Wednesday night, rivalry night, and that game can be viewed.
That's like actually a real one, though.
Yeah, it's an actual rivalry. Going back a while. So, hey, oh, we didn't do... We didn't even talk. It's the return of Chara to
Boston.
Yeah, I
was waiting to do this part so we could talk about it. Chara goes back to Boston, but there's no fans. Oh, wait. I close it. Will there be fans there?
No, they don't have him until the 22nd.
Right. I already said that. I don't even pay attention to myself in this show.
Wow. Chara's return to Boston. I mean, there can't be any ill will there. I mean, he spent so many seasons there.
I want him to lay out Marchand.
That would be great. And they've played together. They played against each other, but it was in D.C. before. So this is his first trip back to Boston. Okay.
You want to see him lay him out and then do some sort of big dramatic, like it's a wrestling thing where he like suddenly goes heel. Although really it's more of him turning, what do they call it? Turning face. If I remember correctly from my wrestling watching days.
If he's turning face, he's turning into a good guy.
He goes back there and he lays out Marchand. They're supposed to be like buddies. Like they should be talking before like the game starts. And then he turns and just levels him. With like a big forearm, and then he's a good guy again.
If he wants to really be a wrestling thing, okay, Tom Wilson and Marchand get into a fight. Chara comes over, tries to break it up, and then he hits Tom Wilson with his hockey stick, takes off his cap jersey to show that he's got a Boston jersey underneath, and then starts playing for Boston. So that way he went heel, okay? So
yeah, but that doesn't help us.
I know, but
like,
still,
good
storyline.
I see what you're
doing,
but I was avoiding that because good guy. You want to go face, not heel.
Right. Well, I got to tell you, my girlfriend did turn 33 on Saturday, and she wanted everyone to celebrate the year 33 with her. So I bought myself a Capitals Chara shirt where it's got Chara 33 on the back because all of her family members got T-shirts as well that said 33 and then a famous athlete on the back. So that was my decision. That was my pick.
That's a good call. I don't even know who else would have worn 33 for the Caps. That wouldn't you be able to get? I'm gonna look that up while you keep talking.
Yeah, I'm not sure who else wore 33, but like you know, I could have done like Eddie Murray for the Orioles. She got a Larry Bird jersey for her birthday, so she got a 33 Larry Bird jersey.
Oh, Gudas, he wore 33.
No, let's not remember that terrible, terrible defenseman.
That's funny. Okay, hold on. I found a website that will actually tell me. 33. 11 guys. Don Beaupre. Anson Carter. Maxime Ouellette. Alexandre Giroux. Gudas and then Chara. Yeah, you probably... either Beaupre, Chara, or Carter for me. I mean, Carter's only here for that 1 year when he wore it, but still.
Yeah. But anyway, 3 days up in Boston. The next game that the Caps will play will be March 5th. In Boston, that game's at 7 o'clock, and you can watch that on NBC Sports Washington or the NHL Network nationally. 3 days in Boston. Do you think Chara's telling these guys, like, the best place to go get a clam chowder or the best place to get a lobster?
Are they going to be allowed to go to these places?
Oh, that's true. That's very true. God, stupid COVID. You ruin everything. Stupid COVID. Well, get it delivered. Tell them where to get some chowder delivered.
That's not a bad idea.
You know they're going to Dunkin'. Gotta get the Dunkin' coffee. All right, and then on Sunday, on the way back to D.C., the Capitals make a pit stop in Philadelphia. That game's at 7 o'clock. Wow, late. Sunday night at 7 o'clock, NBC Sports Washington. Yeah,
Brandon already be in bed.
No, I'm going to be watching the AEW Revolution pay-per-view that night. They're going to – main event is a exploding barbed wire death match, so I'll be watching that. Going to be crazy. And then on Tuesday, the Capitals return home March 9th. They will be up against the New Jersey Devils. You can watch that on NBC Sports Washington or ESPN Plus. That's pretty much it for the show this week. So four games until we talk again. Three road games, one home game. Hopefully this team continues the role that they're on. I want to see a couple more wins here. We're not going to predict which with the wins. That didn't work out for us when we did that. So really worked out when we just told them they suck. So you know what, Caps? Keep winning, because you guys suck.
Yeah,
really
worse.
Suck. Yeah. Suck. So play better. All right. Well, that's it for the show this week. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Wear a mask.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman, voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.